Amen. I'm looking forward to heaven. The more we see the things of this world go on, and I'm telling you what, heaven's looking a lot sweeter. I like that verse over there. Brother Hodge was talking about the last chapter in Revelation. He said, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." John the Revelator got to see some things, and he's ready for God to come back. And I am also. We have the full canon of Scripture here and the Word of God. And, you know, I know how this thing ends. It ends with God being victorious. It ends up with the church being victorious. Amen? And so there's no reason to have to live a defeated life down here, because God's going to help us, and in the end, we do win. And that should be encouraging to you, and we get to go home to be in heaven. So take your Bibles with me this morning and turn over to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to turn to two or three scriptures this morning, but start off with Philippians chapter number 2, and we're not going to have a children's church this morning. We just have a few folks here, and if we need to, the nursery's available and open. And I know that Brother Philip was very excited about preaching to the kids this morning. He was going to do a lesson on how to tie down a boat. And, you know, he's just not able to do that today. He has had some great life lessons on how to get out of a truck and how to tie down a boat. And he's been teaching those kids something, amen, from life experiences. And so he's not able to do that. So hopefully they'll be able to get that lesson next week on how to tie down a boat. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. If you're there, if you would, say amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Appreciate you being here this morning. Brother Chris got here this morning. He thought it was just going to be us two, and it was going to get real personal. Amen. That's why he moved up here to the front, but he appreciates you showing up also. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As a child of God, Brother Heitz did an excellent job teaching this morning. And you say, "Well, I don't understand all of it." Man, you just stick with it and sit in on it, and it'll start making sense. Amen. Those things will start coming together. And as a child of God, as a church, as a body of Christ in the church age, we are to be conforming ourselves and our lives like the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one thing that can do that, is that is the Word of God. The Word of God working in our hearts and in our lives are transforming us into what we ought to be as a child of God. And in turn, the world ought to see Christ through us. And that's how this thing ought to work. We're not just saved and that's it. There's some people that believe that we're just saved and they're not worried about living for God. They're not worried about serving God. They're just happy to be saved. But I'm telling you, there's more to this thing than just being saved. We ought to live a life that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. As we grow as a child of God, the longer that we've been saved, the more like Him we ought to be. And this verse says right here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And for just an introduction, we ought to have the mind of like Christ. You say, what was Christ's mind? Number one, Christ's mind was a purposed mind. He had a purpose. He came for a reason. He was purposed to a plan. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We're going to have the mind of Christ. Christ's mind was a purposed mind. Let me ask you this question this morning. What's your purpose? What's your purpose in this life? What's your purpose for existing? Christ Jesus came. He said, He told those disciples and those people, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He said, "I know what my job is. It's to come and to seek and to save that which was lost." And as a child of God, we ought to have a purpose mind. Our purpose in life ought not to be an NFL player or a basketball player or be some great person in a company or be, hey, those things might happen along the way, but I'm telling you, our purpose ought to be to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and see the lost saved. That ought to be our purpose. The Bible says that we ought to have the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus had a purposed mind. Not only that, but Christ Jesus had a people mind. You know, every time you see Christ, He's helping somebody. Jesus, you want, people say, I want to be like Christ. And they want to be in the spotlight and have all the glory, and they want to see all those things, and they want to have a pat on the back. But if you want to be like Jesus Christ, the most you'll ever be like Christ is when you're serving somebody else. You'll be the most like Jesus Christ when you're serving someone else. There's some churches that religiously do foot washings. But man, I've been in some before that they don't do it religiously. They're not doing it because of tradition. But the pastor was trying to exemplify what Christ was like. And if you want to be like Christ, and he began to take the shoes and socks off of some of the men in his church. He'd have some of the Bible teachers and some of the men and some of the preachers in his church. And he was the pastor, and he washed their feet one Sunday as an illustration of trying to be like Christ. You know what? You're the most like him when you're serving others. You know what's sad? We live in a generation today of Bible believer Christians that don't care anything about anybody else but themselves. We're living in that time right now. We don't care. Hey, I'm telling you what, we could be off in a restaurant somewhere, we could be pumping gas, and we won't leave the convenience and the comfort of our car, of our table while we're eating, because our food might get cold, to go tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. We ought to be looking for opportunities to tell somebody about God. We ought to be looking for opportunity. Talking about having the mind, I'm not even preaching on the mind of Christ. This is just an introduction to get to the message. We ought to have the mind of Christ. It was a purposed mind. It was a people-oriented mind. Jesus Christ was always thinking about other people. And I'm telling you what, that's what we ought to have. If we're going to be a church that's going to please God, and that we're going to see people get saved, we're going to be a people-minded church. Amen? Somebody comes in here, they might not look right, they might not smell right, they might not act right, but guess what? If it's only by the grace of God that you do look right, and that you do smell right, and that you're sitting here this morning, amen? That could be you. And we need to love on them and tell them, man, I like to hear when people say, man, y'all have a friendly church. It needs to stay that way. Needs to stay that way. He was a purpose mind. It was a people. He had a people mind. We ought to esteem others higher than ourselves. It'll help us to realize that we're nobody. I know I'm nobody, amen? And we're just a bunch of nobodies trying to serve somebody. That's all we are. We have to understand that and have that mind. If we ever think that we get to the place where we've arrived, we're in trouble. What about old devil? Satan, Lucifer, was up there, and he said, I will ascend my throne above the stars of heaven. He said he'll ascend his throne above God's. Amen? He got lifted up in pride. We get lifted up in pride. Man, God can't do much with us then, can he? No, we got to serve others. He had a purpose mind, a people mind. Christ's mind was a positive mind. Amen? He was constantly thinking about heaven. He was thinking about right. He was thinking about helping people. And Christ's mind was a positive. But Christ's mind was also a peaceful mind. It was peaceful. Why? He had some assurance in God. His heart was broken at times, but he knew that he had the answer. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the devil, I'm telling you what the Bible says, that he's a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And if you're saved in here this morning and you're a child of God, the devil cannot have your soul. He can't have your soul this morning. If you're saved and you've been washed in the blood and you've been born again, heaven will be your home. God, Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you cannot lose your salvation, and the devil cannot have your soul. If you're lost in here this morning, there's a constant battle for your soul. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and the devil does not want to see you get born again and saved. There's a battle. The devil, more than anything, you know what he wants out of these kids and this younger generation? He wants their soul. Amen? And Jesus Christ came to die for them. And the devil's been destroying homes and families. He's been wrecking all over. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. I'm gonna read that one more time, because we're going to go from here and go to another verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm getting somewhere with this. I just want to try to lay a foundation. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The devil has been destroying churches. He's been destroying families. He's been destroying homes. He's been destroying marriages for a long time. And I'm in no way trying to give place to the devil. I'm just trying to warn you that the devil is not somebody that you want to mess with. And if you're saved, he cannot have your soul. But you know what the devil is this morning? The devil is a deceiver. And as a deceiver, he is after your minds. The devil's after your mind. Now, we know from scriptures, and Paul tells us, that we ought to be like Christ, that we ought to try to strive to be made in His image, and we ought to have the mind of Christ. And if we ought to have the mind of Christ, what do you think the devil wants to have of yours? He wants your mind. He can't have your soul. If you were to die today, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. But I'm telling you what, if the devil can take your mind off of God, off of church, off of the things of God, and he can put it on this old stinking world, he knows that he can get a hold of you and you won't do anything for God if he can have your mind. Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You say the devil can't control the mind. The devil can't get in the mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. You're there, say amen. What's the first word? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's a little g, that's the devil, hath blinded the what? The minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Turn over to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. So the devil is a deceiver. And as a deceiver, the devil is after your mind. As a child of God, we ought to have the mind of Christ. Say, what does that mean, brother? What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Well, we saw a few examples of what the mind of Christ was. But as a child of God, every decision that you make ought to be made with God in mind. Every decision you make, every choice that you make, we got some young men in here this morning, some young ladies. Whatever you do with your life, wherever you go from here, wherever your next step is, it ought to be done with God in mind. You say, how do I find the answer to that? Oh, in His Word. You want to be a spiritual man? We heard Brother Joe preach it several weeks ago. You want to know the will of God for your life? You want to know the direction of God for your life? You're going to get it from that book right there. You say, you mean to tell me that thing was written over so many thousands of years ago and it was there way before I was ever born and it has the answer for my life? Yes, it does. God, with His Holy Spirit in that book, will give you direction in your life. There's people all the time that sit, it doesn't happen near as it used to, but there's young men all the time that God, through that precious word, said, I want you to preach my gospel. I want you to pastor. I want you to be a missionary. Young ladies that decided they want to be a missionary and they want to marry a preacher boy and they want to serve God, and they got the answer from the Word of God. You say, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? It means everything you do, you keep Him in mind. Now let me ask you this. Do you think that would keep a lot of people out of trouble if they were thinking about nothing but God all the time? Oh, would God be pleased with this? Would God be okay with this? I give this example all the time. People say, well, I can't quit smoking and I can't quit drinking. I can't quit doing this. Well, every time you go to have the urge to do that, why don't you open your Bible? Why don't you put your Bible in front of you? Why don't you take a drink of that liquor over top of that Bible and let it drip on the pages of the Word of God? I'm telling you, that would make me stop. Amen. Whenever I get that thought in my mind, I say, man, the devil's messing with my mind. He's trying to pull me aside. And I'm telling you, just because you're saved does not mean the devil cannot mess with your mind. He doesn't mean he can't mess with your body. He cannot have your soul, but he will do everything he can to mess with you. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's a commandment for a child of God to do that. And the reason why he tells you to do that is because we don't start off that way. And the devil can get in our mind. And there's so many people today, they're defeated, they're beat down, they can't get victory over sin, all because the devil is constantly working his games in our minds. Every time you want to pull out a cigarette, every time you want to do something, every time you want to listen to some kind of music that's not honoring to God, why don't you open your Bible and start reading it? Why don't you try smoking? Why don't you try to have to brush the ashes off of your Bible? Amen. I don't know about you, but that would bother me. I don't think I could do it. You say, so every time you have that urge to want to do that, why don't you open your Bible and look in that thing and say, God, you said that your mind needed to be in me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And God, I want to do this thing and I want to mess up. I want to look at this thing on the computer I shouldn't. I want to do this or I want to do that. Well, why don't I open your Word and just let you, God, give me your mind. My mind's not in the right place. You ever heard anybody say that before? You say, hey, what's wrong with you? They say, my mind's not in the right place. My mind's not where it should be. You know what? They're conscious of the fact that they know their mind's not in the right place. And it's going to happen. Hey, Christians, we're full of holes. We're full of holes. We got a mouth hole and an eye hole and an ear hole and all these other kind of holes, amen? And we're full of them. And we can get full of God and we can get full of the Holy Spirit of God and it leaks out. What do you got to do? You got to put it back in. Amen? I don't know how people can go weeks and weeks and miss church. I don't understand that. Amen? Missing that fellowship and missing the things that God has for us and missing the preaching of God's Word and how they can do that. And if they're not faithful to church, it's probably safe to say they're not faithful reading their Bible. It's probably safe to say they're not praying like they ought to. So the devil wants your mind. He wants to deceive you. He wants to trick you. He wants to get in your mind. And I'm going to show you an example of that right here. And it happens to people that are saved all the time. It happens to them. The devil will haunt them about their past. He'll haunt them about things in their life. The devil knows exactly what button to hit on you. He knows what my button is. Amen. These people sometimes get up and they brag on their sin. You shouldn't brag on that thing. Amen. I've heard of preachers before in some churches, whenever they ordain a preacher, they'll sit him up there and they'll get a bunch of other preachers there on the ordination board and they'll question him, make sure he knows his Bible, and they'll ask him things. And I've heard of stories where preachers will say, hey, what's the one thing that would make you quit on God? Man, why would you ask somebody that in front of everybody? You know, preacher answered back, said, I'm not going to tell you. Why aren't you going to tell me? I don't want the devil to hear it. Right. Amen? Devil probably already knows what it is, though. He said, I'm not going to tell you what that one thing is. Well, I don't want the devil to hear it. I don't want some crazy person to hear it. Amen? The devil's destroying homes. He's a deceiver. Look at Genesis chapter number 3. We see this on display. Before you go there, we're going to Genesis chapter 3, but look at Genesis 6, just three chapters over. Now, I'm telling you what, ever since the beginning of time, God has wanted man to have a mind that pleases him. He's wanted him to have a God mind, be mindful of God, be mindful of the things of God. But man's mind and their imagination has been evil. It's been evil. Look there in Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6, look at verse number 5. You there? Say amen. Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Hey, that was in the beginning, amen? That was Genesis chapter number 6. Where are we at today? We're right there. Are we not? Is there not wickedness everywhere? Is people not doing every wicked thing that they can imagine? It's happening right now. If man could dream it up, they're doing it. If the wickedness that man could come up with, they're doing it. Every time they bust a new drug or they bust a new thing and they try to get it off the streets, man is so wicked, they'll come up with another one. Now I got to get out my license to buy salt. I got to get my license out to get some cough syrup. Amen. What are you buying this for? Man, I got a cough I got to get rid of. I got a cold. But now you got to show your license for it. Why? Because man's come up with all kind of evil things to mix up stuff and to make things. And it's evil continually. Evil. Look over there in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now we find here in the Bible, God had just created the heavens and earth. He created man, he created woman, and he placed them in a perfect garden. And he said, you can eat of every tree in this garden. You can eat of every one of them except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now I get asked the question, Brother Andrew, why did he put a tree there that they were not allowed to eat of it? Why did he even put it there? And that's because he's always given man a choice. He wants man to choose him of their own free will. He wants them to choose God. I give the example of this when I cover the subject of my wife. Amen. I thank God for my wife. She's not here. I'm going to brag on her. I thank God for my wife. I've got a great wife. And I know that. And I don't deserve her. And I praise the Lord for her. But you know what's so precious about our marriage and our relationship? There's a lot of great things there. But you know what's precious to me is that she chooses to be with me. She's not made to be with me. Nobody's holding a gun to her head. Her mom and dad didn't force her to marry me. Amen. But she chooses to love me. And look at me. You don't know why either. I understand. It's a mystery. You know what that is? That's the grace of God. Amen. But she chooses to love me. Amen. She told me this morning, I love you. I'm praying for you. And we're going to try. She might be watching right now. I don't know. She said, I love you and I'm praying for you. Nobody asked her to do that, Brother Heitch. Nobody forced her to do that. And you know what? That's special to me. Now let's say the roles were reversed and she had to love me. She was made. She did not have a choice. You think that would be special to me? Every time she said, I love you, you knew it wasn't real because she had to. Every time she stayed with you and every time she was there beside your side, hey, thank God she's there, but she had to be. That wouldn't be as special, would it? Brother Chris, praise the Lord, they love us, amen? And they're not you're not forced to love them, are you? Amen? Thank God for it. They choose to. I don't know why. Amen? But they do. And know what God? He placed that there, and he said, I just want you to choose me. I want you to make a choice to obey me and to love me. And I want to give you that choice. He said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That tree, it wasn't just any kind of tree. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they partook of that thing, they knew what right was. They knew what wrong was. And you know what? The old devil showed up, and you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to get in her mind. He wanted to start playing mind games. And we find the first correction of the Word of God in this passage. You say, what is that? Well, if you go back there and look at that thing, for sake of time, I'm not going to read it. But Eve said, she told Satan that God told me not to eat it and not to touch it. Well, if you go back and read, God never told her not to touch it. He just said, don't eat it. So she done added to the Word of God. So the devil gets in her mind, and already they're messing with the book. They're messing with the Word of God. You mean to tell me that all these other Bible versions out here, the devil's not involved in it? I'm telling you, you're wrong. The devil's involved in every bit of it. Messing with the Word of God. Adding to, taking away. The devil's handiwork is in that. We see it from the very beginning. And so he gets in there, and he shows up, and she starts messing with Eve. And the first thing we find here is that he places a thought in her mind. That's exactly where the devil starts. He starts by just placing a thought in there. He said, what would it be like if you were a God? What would it be like if you were a God, knowing good and evil? God doesn't want you to be like him. God doesn't want you to know those things. And he placed that thought in there. And you know what? Eve sat there and she started saying, huh, what would it be like? And she started thinking about it. It turned into a thought. And you know what the devil is very successful at doing? He's successful at whispering in these young people's ears saying, your mom and dad really don't love you. That preacher really doesn't love you. Is the devil not good at doing that? Getting in there destroying churches? Well, Brother Andrew didn't shake my hand. Well, you didn't come shake mine either, amen? The devil does that stuff, though, and he gets in and destroys churches. What about in a marriage? He'll get in there, and that husband's working late, and he's trying to do everything he can to take care and support his family, and he's been working some overtime trying to pay the bills, and the devil starts getting his head saying, he don't want to be around you. Get playing around on Facebook doing those things, and the devil just places a thought in there. I wonder what it would be like if you were with him. Amen? These men at work, and they're working, and they're going on. They get home, and their wife is constantly on them and bother them. The devil starts getting in their mind, saying, I wonder what it would be like if you were with her. I'm telling you, it's how the devil works. And all it starts with is a thought. All it starts with a thought. You get with somebody that's drunk or drinking or smoking or hooked on crack or dope and hooked on some of these drugs, and you go back and ask them, say, hey, how did it start? It all started with, oh, I'm just going to try a little bit. It'll never get me like it does these other people. The devil gets in their mind and says, just a little bit won't hurt. Started way back there. Hey, just a little bit won't hurt. And I'm telling you, people that are hooked today, and they're hooked, and the devil has them in his grip. Amen. And it started with a thought. And so Eve's over there in the garden, and she's looking at that tree, and she's pondering, and that old slippery Satan shows up, and all he does is place a thought in her mind. You know what the devil's very successful at today? The devil's successful at bringing up your past. The devil say, well, you can't do anything for God. Don't you know who your mama and daddy are? You can't do anything for God. Don't you know who your dad is? Don't you know who your mom is? Don't you know what you used to do? Don't you know who you used to be? Don't you know the problems that you went through? You can't do anything for God. I've had them before tell me when I'm witnessing to them, they say, I can't be saved. They say, I can't get saved. Why can't you be saved? Well, you don't know what I've done. Have you ever had them tell you that, brother, when you're witnessing to them? Oh, man, you don't know what I've done. You know what? That's the devil in there telling them. He's blinded the minds of them that are lost. He said, no, you can't get saved because you're a sorry, no good. You know what God said? I know you're sorry, no good, but I died for you too, and I'll save you if you'll just trust me. But the devil gets in there and says, no, you can't. And then if they do get saved, that past constantly haunts them. There's people that live their entire Christian life, and they can't ever get over something from the past. I'm telling you, the devil's in that thing, constantly working on their mind. And he's just working that mind and working that mind. And he got with Eve here, and he said, hey, just think about it. Think what it would be like. Devil has many tactics to place thoughts, to place a seed of thought in somebody's mind. You know, the devil will use your friends. He'll use your family. He'll use music. He'll use that television. He'll use the internet. He has many tools and many devices to use just to place a thought in your head. Music is a very dangerous thing. I'm telling you, it can. All music is spiritual. What spirit is it, though, is the question. There's been kids that have cut themselves listening to different kinds of music. They'll get there and they're depressed out of their mind, and the devil's been working on their mind and they're working through their friends. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. Hey, they think I'm fat. They think I'm ugly. And they go through all these things. They'll get there, start listening to that music, and the devil will work in that thing. They'll start cutting themselves. You mean to tell me that's from God? Absolutely not. The devil starts working in their minds how a young boy, young girl could take a gun and stick it up to their head and blow their brains out, or they could try to hang themselves. And I'm telling you, the devil works in their mind. And he uses many tactics to get into the mind. Bad influences, peer pressure. You say, even for adults, the devil will use things to get in your mind. Every time you watch the media, every time you watch the news, or you watch a television program, or you watch on the computer, you get on something, or you go watch a movie, there's an agenda behind every bit of it. They're trying to tell you something. Every single time, let this mind be in you. Which is, if you can't control that thing, if you can't control that television, it needs to go. You can't control the internet, it needs to go. I have one in my home, and I have the internet, but I tell it what to do. Amen. And it used to be Andy Griffith until Brother Hunter just blew that out the door. And now I don't even know why I have it. Amen. You'd have had to have been at the men's meeting. That man was preaching up a storm about Andy Griffith. Thoughts. The devil, all it starts with is just, hey, think about this. How many people are not sitting in churches today? And, you know, our church is only about a little over two years old, but we've already seen people come and go from here already. Even in short 2 years. And how many people are not sitting in church today, or they're gone, and their heart's been broke, it's been ripped in two, there's bitterness, there's hatred, there's malice in their heart. They're backslid because the devil, all he did one day, he knew which day to do it. The day the kids were acting up, the day you get in the van and you're going to work and there's no gas in it, or the day you're going to church and there's no gas in it because your wife forgot to fill it up the day before and didn't tell you about it. You come in the parking lot on two wheels, amen, and you're sitting there, and the devil said, now's the day. He doesn't have the mind to cry. He's not thinking about God. He's frustrated. He's aggravated. And all he has to do is go, I can't believe Brother Andrew preached that. I can't believe Brother Hyde said that. Can you believe that? You don't really believe that, do you? And the devil, all he did with Eve was say, what would it be like if you were a God? She started thinking, huh? And you know what that moved on to? That thought turned into an imagination. And all of a sudden, that little thought of what would it be like turned into her sitting there daydreaming. Man, what would it be like if I was God? What would it be like if I, what if it was, what would it be like if I knew everything? And the devil placed that thought in the mind of young people. He places it in there. Hey, that one little sip won't hurt. That one little tug won't hurt. And next thing you know, they're sitting there trying it. And the next thing you know, they're imagining. Oh, what would it be like? There's husbands, there's wives, there's families, there's marriages all over the place that are on the brink of destruction because the devil placed the thought in their mind. And next thing you know, they're actually contemplating it. People come to church. They don't just leave overnight. I've got a message that I preach, and I'll preach it here sometime on the final thoughts of a backslider before they leave. What are the last things that go through their mind before they walk out the door? That thing don't happen overnight. The devil puts a thought in there. He puts something. A marriage is not destroyed overnight. Hey, the devil puts a thought in there. They start imagining, what would it be like if I was with so-and-so? What would it be like if he was my husband? What would it be like if she was my wife? What would it be like if I lived over there? What would it be like if I had this car? What would it be like if I had this or had that? And the devil puts that thought in there, and they start imagining what it would be like. That's exactly what happened to Eve. She began to imagine what it would be like to be like God's, knowing good and evil. People come, they'll sit in church, young people will come, they say, my mom don't like me, my dad don't like me, they don't let me have any fun, they don't let me enjoy the things of this life. Brother Andrew preaches against everything, he's just always getting on things, and he don't want us to have no fun, he don't love us. And the devil plays that thought, they begin to think about it, and they begin to imagine, well, what would it be like if we went down to the church down the road? Or what would it be like? I bet you it's different. Every time I look over there, they're having a party, they're having a good time. Devil begins to place those imaginations. Can I tell you one thing? The devil is a rotten, stinking liar. The Bible says that he is a liar. The Bible says in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is a liar. And I'm here to tell you, we don't got a lot of young folks in here, but the ones that are in here, if the devil ever tells you that your parents don't love you, he's lying. If the devil ever tells you this preacher or that preacher right there does not love you, he's lying. I'm telling you, he's lying. He's a father of lies. And so what happens here? Eve, the devil places a thought in her mind. He'll bring up the past. He'll bring up previous relationships. He'll bring up a mom or a dad, or he'll bring up a sibling. I'm telling you, there's some awful things that have happened in this world. That there's children that have been molested by their parents. There's some that have been molested by grandparents or aunts or uncles or friends of their family. There's things that have happened that are awful. And I'm not trying to degrade them. Those things are awful. Awful, man. I can't imagine. I experienced some things when I was younger that's not near as bad as some others. But, man, I'm telling you, you know what the devil does? He brings those things up and he tries to get you to remember them so he can mess with your mind. And the devil will do that. And then we'll start imagining. We'll replay those pictures in our mind. We'll replay those videos in our mind. We'll replay those things over and over again. Some of you that got saved later on in life and you got off in all kind of music and things, man, I'm telling you, all you have to do is hear a part of a tune of a song and you'll remember the whole song. Amen? Those things will come back to you just like that. And you'll remember the whole thing. What does that have to do with your mind? The devil can get in there, and he can bring those triggers up, and he can get you thinking. And he did that with Eve. And next thing you know, she was imagining. And then you know what? The thought turned into imagination, turned into a stronghold. Eve thought about it. She imagined it. She reached up and grabbed that fruit. She took a bite and handed it to her husband. Now, they're in a perfect environment. God placed him there. Adam would walk with God in the cool of the day. He would fellowship with God. And now there's separation from God. They were kicked out of the garden. Hey, there was a stronghold that was built. And all it started with was a thought, then an imagination, and now a stronghold. Little girls and little boys that are giving their bodies away, giving their hearts away at a young age. You little 17, 18-year-old girl, I'm never going to get married. You know, the devil's saying, no, you're never going to get married. You just need to give yourself away instead of waiting on somebody that God has for you. Young men waiting on somebody that God has for you. And the devil, he'll get in there and he'll mess with their minds. He'll mess with the marriage. He'll get you imagining things. And the next thing you know, a husband's coming home saying, I don't love you anymore. I found somebody. What happens now? Stronghold. Next thing you go, you got a man or a woman that's so hooked on drugs, they were just going to try it a little bit. They were just going to experience it a little bit. They were going to experiment with it. They begin to imagine what it would be like, and now it's a stronghold in their life, and they cannot let it go. And all it started with was a thought. The devil, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and the devil's fighting everything he can to get you to not think about God. If he could get you to go through an entire day without reading your Bible, without praying, if he can get you to miss church, he'll do whatever it takes to get you to miss church. There's some people that he knows all he has to do is let little Johnny stub his toe and the whole family's going to miss. The devil knows that. So guess what? Every Saturday, Johnny's going to stub his toe. The devil knows if he can get that little girl to have a snotty nose every Sunday morning, they're not going to be at church. And guess what? Every single week it doesn't fail, or every other week is going to happen. It's just going to happen. Why? The devil? But there's some that are stronger than that. They say, you know what? We'll wipe the snot off. You don't have a fever. We're going to church. The devil says, huh, we got to up the game here. We got to up this a little bit. But he's going to find whatever it takes to try to get you to quit. But I'm telling you, if you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you're having the mind of Christ and God's working in your life and you're faithful to church, I'm telling you what, the devil cannot break through the mind of Christ. God has defeated the devil. And I thank God for it, amen? He's defeated him. And he can't break through that word. You get that word in your heart and you get close to God and you fall in love with that Bible and you fall in love with church and you fall in love with serving God and you just fall in love with him. Devil cannot penetrate that. He can't do it. You say, what do I do, Brother Andrew? What do I do about that thought? What do I do about that imagination? What do I do if the devil has a stronghold on me? God told me to preach this message for a reason this morning, and I don't know what category you fall in. Maybe you've been thinking about some things. Maybe the devil's been bringing up a past. Maybe the devil's been bringing up some thoughts in your mind. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe you've been imagining something. Maybe you've been stuck daydreaming here lately about something you ought not to be. Something that could end up ruining your marriage, your home, your family, your relationship, your children, your mom, your dad. Something that would break their heart. You've been imagining. There might be people in here this morning that already have a stronghold. The devil already has a grasp on you. Whatever that thing is you're involved with, it has you. You cannot quit. You cannot stop. And I'm here to tell you, you can't do it on your own. But I thank God I know one who can. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians. What about it, Brother Andrew? Well, if there's no truth in the devil, and he's a liar, what do you think you combat him with? Truth. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You combat him with the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. If you find your place, say amen. We started off one of our first verses with this thing. And I'm just going to give this to you and we're going to close. Brother Fisher, you come get your guitar and come get ready to play something. Go and come pick a song out. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 3. Y'all there, say amen. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. I'm telling you what, if you have a stronghold in your life, nothing physically can take care of that. Is that not what this verse says? It's not a carnal, it's a spiritual thing. God has to intervene in your life. You have to let God do something. You have to let God move in. God has to be the one to take it away. You can't do it with your flesh. I thank God for rehab clinics. I thank God for churches that have programs. I think they're great. It's good to go to some of those things. But that is just a Band-Aid. If you want victory in your life, God has to be the one to give you that victory. And we find here, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. God is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So, Brother Andrew, I have a stronghold in my life. There is something in my life that nobody knows about. My husband might not know about it. My wife might not know about it. My mom and dad might not know about it. But there's a stronghold in my life. What do? I run to God and say, Lord, you're going to have to be mighty and pull this thing down. I'm defeated. The devil has got me in a stronghold and I'm hooked. I can't stop looking at that thing. I can't stop watching those videos. I can't stop drinking that. I can't stop smoking. I can't quit cussing. Whatever it is, the devil's got a stronghold in your life. I can't quit thinking about that girl or thinking about that guy or whatever it might be. You say, what do I do? You come to God and let him pull down the strongholds. You let God pull it down. How do I do that? You ask him and you get in his word. It says, to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, what does it say? Imagination. Brother Andrew, I don't have a stronghold. But guess what? I've been imagining. What do? Oh, you get with God and say, Lord, I need your help to cast down the imaginations. We need to hit the stop button on whatever's been playing in my mind. The seed that the devil placed in my mind. I've been having thoughts, and now I'm having imaginations. God, I need you to help me cast those things down. Casting down the imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You know what that's saying right there? It's saying everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know what that is? That's the devil saying you can handle it. The devil says you can handle it. You can take it. It'll be okay. All of a sudden, you're thinking more high of yourself than what you ought to. I'm telling you right now, you can't handle it. I can't handle it. None of us in here can handle the devil. There's greater men and women than you and I that have done great things for God that have fallen from a stronghold in their life because the devil got in their mind and started messing with them. They thought they were somebody. Casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what we find here? We find the answer. Eve, it starts with a thought. You say, that thought comes in my mind. What do? You bring that thought into captivity. Say, no. We're not going there. I am not going there in my mind. Why? Because the devil can end up turning that thing into imagination, and next thing you know, it controls my life. You bring that captivity. You say, I start thinking those things. What do? Hey, why don't you start praying and reading your Bible? You say, hey, I need some help. There's some thoughts in my mind. I've had people come to me before and say, Brother Andrew, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I've had some thoughts I shouldn't be having. Say, what do? I pray for them. There's nothing wrong with picking up the phone or sending a text message saying, Brother Andrew, or one of these other men or ladies in the church, say, I need prayer right now. Why? There's a thought. You know what that is? That's bringing it into captivity. Acknowledging, saying, no, we're not going down that road. Bringing it into captivity. Your imaginations, casting down imaginations, and asking God, who's mighty, to pull down the strongholds in our life. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But the devil wants your mind too. And he'll do whatever it takes. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. He's going to begin to play something on the guitar. You say, Brother Andrew, this is a hard message to come to the altar on. If the devil's been messing with your mind, it doesn't matter. It don't matter how hard it is. You do business with God this morning. He's going to play through a few words. We're not going to have any songs. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What has the devil been messing with you? Is there something from your past that the devil's been haunting you with? Is there something going on in your life? What about it, young person? What about it, mom and dad?